This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore, and it's a Friday. Getting ready for our weekend, our North Shore High School football broadcast tonight. And later on today, our Trending Now with Josh Arnold will be airing here on MSONewsSports.com. And Rick, let's talk about that, because I understand that today's program is a big one, and it's starting at 9 o'clock today.
Josh is talking about doing a two-hour program, several two-hour programs, because he has so many guests lined up. So he is ready to get this information out there. And he's got, seven or eight people lined up today. So I'll take a look at some of those. And obviously, we're going to be live from 9 to 11 a.m. on Friday morning, this Friday. And then it will be posted shortly after the program will be on demand. So he's going to start with, and I don't know that this is necessarily the order of the interviews, but on the guest list today scheduled are Gloucester City Council candidate Paul Lundberg. He is an incumbent running for re-election, and he is running, it doesn't say whether it's at large or a ward, so I don't know, but Paul Lundberg will be a guest. Then he's going to talk to David Manzi, who is a candidate for mayor in the city of Beverly. So we'll have mayoral candidate David Manzi on. We also have lined up a school committee candidate from the city of Lynn, and that is Maria Carrasco, and Josh will be talking with her. So we've got Beverly, Lynn, Gloucester covered so far. And then he's coming back to Gloucester to talk to the other mayoral candidate, Sophia Romeo Taken, who's a an incumbent in quotes. And there's a big headline in the paper this morning about trust an issue at the Gloucester mayoral debate, in wherein candidate McGeary questions interim mayor Romeo Taken on an appointment pledge, and questioning her credibility, in fact, that she whether or not she promised that she would not run for the election once she was named, or in order to be named interim mayor. And of course that is a hot topic in Gloucester. Now let's see. Also, Josh will be talking to Estelle Rand, who is a candidate for city councilor in Ward 2 in Beverly. And Brandy Carpenter will be a guest as well. She is a school committee candidate in the city of Peabody. And Josh's final guest, he'll go to Salem to talk to Domingo Dominguez, who is a councilor at large, or at least running for councilor at large in Salem. And I apologize for not knowing whether some of these are incumbents or not, because I just have the list here in front of me. So he's got seven or eight people lined up for today, and there'll be a whole bunch more next week as well. These are all the Trending Now program today will be dedicated solely to the municipal elections coming up.
All right. Well, that sounds great. So that's a great guest list from Lynn, Beverly, Gloucester, and all those places having the municipal election. So again, 9 o'clock today. But again, it will be the program will be posted shortly thereafter. So you can check back on the website throughout the day and throughout the weekend and take a listen to that. We also, in regards to any of the programming here, whether it be the radio program or any of the posts, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. I think I mashed up the email. Getting this from you, Rick, but I mashed up the email just a second ago. So it's msonewsports@gmail.com. It is on the post here for this program. So if you need to get it, you can do that as well. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter accounts, Rick, we got a few more people following us here in the last week or so. But you can do that. We'd love to have you follow us, because we do update stories. We do tip you off to some of the things on the website. And from time to time, we are at games during the week, and we update scores on those kinds of things as well. So we also, by the way, have Ollie Eberth, who is the North Shore student athlete for September, the Moynihan student athlete from September, on our website with an interview. And we hope to maybe be able to post the female September Student Athlete Award interview later on today. If not, it'll be up tonight or tomorrow. But we're hoping that comes through for us today. Just trying to arrange that interview. It's taken a little extra day, but we'll get that done, I'm sure. And so those are some of the things happening on the website. And our video post today, just in case you scroll down on the webpage a little bit, kind of stumbled upon some photographs. And all it is a kind of a still pictures of photographs of what it would be like growing up 100 years ago. So there's some great old photos. I know some of you, I'm sure, have seen these types of photos over and over again. But anyway, there's some great photos in this little video that from what it would be like growing up here in the United States about 100 years ago. All right, Rick, there's some other breaking news, not breaking news, but some other news around the North Shore.
Well, let me see here. Obviously, the campaigns are starting to heat up the election information, but there's an article in the Gloucester Times about a harbor cleanup. I didn't know the harbor was messed up, but apparently there's a portion of the harbor by the harbor master's office on the waterfront in Gloucester. It's in the inner harbor that National Grid is focusing efforts on cleaning up Solomon Jacobs Park. So, it says it's a $30 million project. This is by Sean Horgan of the Times, to clean up decades-old contaminants from portions of the park and adjacent stretches of Gloucester Harbor. The work is in the first 6 weeks, focusing on shoreside areas before the contractors turn their attention later this month to beginning to eradicate contaminants from the adjoining harbor bed. So I guess it's really, really close in to the wharf, but that's on the inner harbor in Gloucester, and that's a cleanup that has begun. And other than that, you know, the main topic once again is the opioid issue that Gloucester Police Chief Lenny Campanello has been so adamant about and working so diligently with other organizations, among his other duties. And apparently he did meet with the chief of Pfizer Pharmaceuticals this week, according to the Times. They're New York-based. But there's no comment coming out. They met yesterday for 90 minutes, Chief Campanello and representatives of PARI, the organization that works with the Gloucester Police Department, helping addicts who come in for assistance, and with Pfizer representatives. But no comment coming out of their bill, so I imagine there'll be some kind of a written statement soon, hopefully.
And in a related story, this is an Associated Press story in the item today, Governor Charlie Baker unveiling a bill aimed at curbing opioid abuse. And in this bill, Governor Baker criticized what he considers a blasé attitude among the health professionals about addictive painkillers as he introduced legislation Thursday as part of a strategy to curtail the deadly surge in drug overdoses. Baker called for a 72-hour limit on first-time prescriptions for opioid painkillers and change in the state civil commitment law. Both those, I think, are getting pretty well hailed. I think I heard a doctor on the radio yesterday criticizing the 72-hour thing, but I really think that the 72-hour piece, I like that. I also have said before that prescribing some of these painkillers out of a hospital setting ought to be red flag, red flag, red flag for all physicians, to be honest with you. So anyway, I think those are steps in the right direction, and they're also, I believe, the bill, and the discussion earlier this week is that I think there have been times when people have been kicked out of hospitals or stays in hospital or no, actually it was women being sent to prisons for addiction issues, and that's stopping. So there's a lot of, it seems to be positive things. But, you know, whether you get it right this time or not and have to come back and revisit it down the road, it's just important that it seems like we're addressing it in a much better way now than we have been. And it's important, I think, that the governor be doing this at his level and kind of setting the tone for the state and for visibility on this issue.
Well, it's good. Chief Campanello said a while ago when this thing started, he wanted to change the conversation. And it's given me, just personally, a new way of looking at it, because I did, out of ignorance, think, okay, well, people take pills, they can stop taking pills. And then, you know, it's just not that easy. It's like having a brain injury, more or less. You get a chemical change in your system, and you can't change that just by willpower. So, to a degree. I mean, I'm not speaking as a clinician, obviously, but it has changed the conversation for me. And, you know, to look at it and say, okay, let's take care of people who ask for help instead of arresting them has made an impact already. And I don't know what the numbers are. I think it's close to 300 people in 3 months that they have helped. And I don't know what the rate of recidivism is, but, you know, we'll get those numbers at some point. So it's a good thing. And obviously the war on drugs hasn't worked up to this point in so many ways. So as the chief said, you know, they're going after the demand as well as the supply, and going after demand is where it starts. Hopefully that, you know, it will be huge, and it will make a big change. I think, you know, drug addiction in this country and the use of guns, there needs to be, maybe there's another place where we need to change the conversation and not make it such, you know, such an emotional divide between two sides, but rather we can all come together.
Yeah. And, yeah, so those are some of the news stories. Hey, there was a story, you talk about the harbor cleanup, which triggered me to this one. There was a story in the item today, another front page story in the item. Another sinkhole in Lynn. They had one about a month ago on the Common, which is North Common Street, South Common Street, and I think this is in the same general area, same street anyway, as the one about a month ago. So all of a sudden we're getting these sinkholes. But, Rick, nothing like the mudslides in California. Have you seen those pictures on television?
You know, I haven't, but we were discussing that, my wife and I, over the week, last week on vacation, and because it did bring up, you know, we talked of building homes on the waterfront. We talked about that yesterday, you and I, you know, where houses get swept away, but also the where they build houses in California, you know, where the Santa Ana winds are, and the fact that when all this development place out there, they used all the groundwater, so the ground is dry to begin with. So I haven't seen the pictures of the mudslides, but I've seen them in the past and know how devastating it is. And I'm going to coin that phrase again. I changed the conversation. Maybe you know, we need to figure out better ways of building or better places to build and take care of the ecosphere. It's, you know, all these, I've never been a tree hugger, Bill, but the tree huggers have a point.
Yeah. Well, the photos are, you know, these huge mudslides and mud rivers and houses getting, you know, covered up halfway up and people getting trapped and stuff. But but so far I think everything's, I don't know of any deaths out of that, but again, I was just looking at it very quickly. It's a little bit out of our coverage area, but a big story nonetheless. And hope everybody or people know people out in that area that they're okay. But you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we you know, people gripe about different things in New England, but you know, we got cold winters. We do get we may get a hurricane, you know, or parts of a hurricane at times. We do get wind. We do get rain. But we don't get wildfires too often, and we don't get mudslides, and we don't get a lot of earthquakes. Now, I hope I don't jinx us, and I apologize if I do in advance, but it certainly sounds like I'm setting us up here for the next 48 hours here. But at least we don't get those things too often anyway.
Yeah, I hope you don't change it. Do you? You got any wood? You got any wood there you can knock?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There we go.
Okay, yeah. Now I feel better.
Let me do that. Let me do that. Let me just do that just to be safe.
There you go.
Speaking of, and this is a horrible transition, but just a little congratulations out there to a Danvers High School athlete, Mike Plansky, who won the Northeastern Conference Golf Crown yesterday. So congratulations to him. For his efforts this week. And I guess, Rick, it kind of leads us into our little football previews.
Well, you know, this is going to be going to be a huge weekend, I think, and it's hard to believe. And, you know, I'm not crazy about the playoffs, but, you know, just one more week that will be next Friday in the regular season, and then the playoffs begin. But it's a pretty good run right now. The Times, and I'm guessing the Salem News as well, has an interesting statistic on high school pass teams in the area and teams that rely primarily on the pass. They've got five of them: Bishop, Fenwick, Pingree, Marblehead, the Prep, and Danvers. And each of those schools has, except for one, has a big record. Combined, they're 20-4, led by Fenwick at 5-0. In those five games, Fenwick has thrown for 1,000 yards. Pingree, 887, Marblehead, 859, the Prep, 785, and Danvers, 540. And the Prep is also 5-0. Marblehead and Danvers each at 4-1. So apparently there's something to this spread offense. Passing the ball has become, you know, the thing in high school.
Well, I don't want to be the negative Nelly here, but I think I could also cite a few spread teams that aren't doing so well. So, but yet those, the undefeated teams, they are spread, they are passing, and But they also have some guys that are running the football too, like Ollie Eberth from St. John's Prep. Not only passes the football at quarterback, but he also has 250 yards of running this season as well. So of rushing himself personally. So
well, you know, yeah. And if you look at the top 10 rushers, I mean, Foden at Masco has 867 yards. Doug Santos over at Peabody 729. And then the prep, you've got the prep right there with Preston at 623, Madden and Beverly 551, and so yeah, the top 10, the lowest amount of rushing is at 315 yards in the top 10. So it's from 315 up to 867, you know, individually for rushing. And the leading passer, let's see here, does not have 1,000 yards, but pretty close. Pingree leads. Their quarterback has 887 yards. Hmm. And you're right, Ebert, 785 passing to go along with how many yards rushing? He's got.
I think it's around 250. You know.
Okay, so he's close to 1,000 combined. That's pretty.
Yeah, he's quite he's a special athlete for sure. But far be it from me to rip apart a Salem News sports story. That's not where I was going. I'm just saying that. And I think maybe they're saying is that these successful teams are passing teams, and that's but all passing teams they're not 100% pass. They got to get some run, or else they're not going to be effectively able to throw the football. Unless it's like the Patriots against Pingree, you know, maybe that would be a different situation.
Well, did you see what the Pingree got? 60 something points again last. They played the school with a combined. They set the record, I guess, for a combined, you know, regulation time scoring a couple of years ago, and then it was I don't know 60 something to 40 something this week. So yeah, they must be fun to watch. It's all offense all the time.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, well, that's that should do it for our games this week. Let's not forget that. But I kind of woke up and thinking that, oh my gosh, it is Friday today. It's already Friday, and we have two games tonight. Our live video streaming game is Danvers and Beverly. This is an important game because each one of these teams has one loss in the league. And not just for conference titles, but that may not be in the books for them, but at least for playoffs. So this is an important game for both of those teams. I guess there's one plus to the playoff system, one distant plus to it, I guess. It does impact postseason play a little bit. So that'll be a big game tonight at Bishop Fenwick, 7 o'clock. And our other game tonight finds Peabody a little bit on a roll now. They, too, want to grab wins to close out the year for just that reason, for postseason play in Division One for them. And they're at Lynn English tonight at a 7 o'clock game. And again,
and I think you want to keep an eye on the Salem game, too, Bill. Salem at Gloucester, Salem coming on. And there's a healthy respect for what the Witchers are doing right now. They're a young team. They're catching up to the speed of the game. They played very well. And as I said, they're 2-3. Gloucester at 4-1.
Well, and that will be an interesting game too, because just as you mentioned, Coach Matt Bouchard, they've got a couple of wins now, and then Gloucester had the week off too last week, right, with the Winthrop forfeit. So and Winthrop's
yep.
playing Saugus tonight, so they're back at it tonight. But when the wheels stop for Gloucester football, you know, for that forfeit by Winthrop a week ago, they were rolling at a pretty good pace, and they'll have to start their machine up again here tonight. And so sometimes that's a little problematic, a little bit rusty, and so on. Not rusty in the sense that they haven't played a game in 2 weeks. That's what I mean.
Well, so. one interesting weird statistic is that the starting offense for Gloucester has scored on its first 12 consecutive possessions now, covering two games. 2 weeks ago, they scored seven straight times, and then last week they scored on their first five possessions. So it's interesting to see how they will come out of the gate and see if they are rusty for sure.
All right. Well, probably they won't be rusty, you know, because that's something I brought up, and it's probably wrong. But it's just something to keep an eye on. And plus, they'll be home tonight, so there's no better place to come out of a two-week layoff than to be at home and take on Salem, where traditionally, Rick, you know, you and I harken back a few years, but traditionally a Salem-Gloucester game was a big game on the North Shore. Maybe not always the number one game for first place, but always a great football game over the years between these two schools. And so hopefully it gets renewed a bit tonight and up at Newell Stadium.
They're all great rivalries. You're right, Bill. And, you know, Winthrop Saugus is a big one. That's a great big one. And wherever you see these Northeastern Conference schools, you know, I just hope people dress warm and get out and watch these games because it's fun no matter what. And, you know, pull for these kids. They work hard. Some of them are not great athletes, but they give everything they've got out there to play for a short time. And, you know, it's just the biggest bang for your buck that you can get around here.
Okay. Well, that's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Our two games tonight are Peabody English on radio and Danvers Beverly on the live streaming video. And the Lynn game will be on Channel B, and the Salem-Gloucester game will be up on Channel A as well if you want to, if you're listening and driving around. And as you do that, please spread the word that these games are on to different people and email us if you have any questions or comments at the email address msonewsports@gmail.com. And also follow us on Twitter. So that should do it. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. On a Friday, this is North Shore Today.